And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we're here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everybody. Rev Jim and Mary Smith. We run a ministry in Africa, but we live in East Sussex when we're not in Africa. I'm licensed to the Diocese of Chichester, and we attend our local Anglican church in our village. Very nice to be here to hear that African music this morning. We were having difficulty not standing up and dancing, Mary and I, so we sat down and danced this morning. David has asked me to speak a little about vision, our vision and your vision, and that's what I'd like to do this morning. I'm going to ask Mary if she'd set the scene about a piece of our work.
One day I was on our base in Ghana, and we go back next week to be with them again. And I was on the base, and I just wanted to be quiet. And I just wanted to talk with the Lord, so I went over to the church on the base, which is called Beloved Blessing. And I went into the church, and I just sat down in the silence. As I sat there, suddenly I heard the door open, and I thought it was the women coming in. But it wasn't the women coming in, because suddenly by the side of me, there was a shuffling. And when I looked up, there was a little girl had come and sat next to me. She shuffled on the seat and sat next to me, and I smiled and she smiled, and I carried on with what I was doing. And as the time went by, suddenly a little hand reached out and touched my arm. I looked at her, and immediately the hand disappeared, but she smiled and I smiled back. And then she began to get bolder, because then suddenly her little hand began to stroke my arm. And again, when I looked at her, the hand disappeared. And then she got really bold, because then she took my hand and she turned it in her hand. We still said nothing, we just smiled at one another. And then suddenly she wriggled off the seat and stood in front of me and said this, "My name is Precious and I am 4. So she did speak English after all. But that was just the beginning of the story of Precious. Because that continued, because later that day I had a vision. And in that vision, I was standing holding on to Precious's little hand. And we were standing together again in the silence. But then suddenly I was aware that we were in this special place. And this special place was filled with this incredible light, this bright light. And I realized that we were standing in heaven. And then suddenly she let go of my hand and she stepped forward and she said this, "Can I have a school?" And then there was silence. And then through the silence came the word, "Yes, you can have the school." I came back over to the house. And little did I know that in the house at that very moment, Apostle Paul, who leads our work in Ghana, was talking with Jim. And he had come over at that very moment and said, "You will never believe this, but I've just heard there is land for sale. Look, it is there." Amen.
The thing about vision is we've learned in our 30 years of ministry in Ghana and the 20 years before that in the UK, is that every church and every work has to have one. Now, Elijah had one. He had a clear vision. For him, it was he wanted to bring the people back to God. And so, with that in his heart, he was able to go to the Kiriath ravine and be fed by the ravens. He was able to go to Zarephath and be fed by the woman, the widow. He was able to challenge Ahab on Mount Carmel. He was able to be threatened by Jezebel. He was able to cross the desert and come to Sinai. The inner vision that he had was generating a spiritual energy in him which kept him going. And I would say that's the same for us in Ghana when we began all these years ago. I had a vision for teaching in Ghana servant ministry. That is certainly lacking in Africa. There's plenty of loud, shouting, self-promoting ministry, but very little servant ministry, and I believe in that. I very much believe in the body, raising the gifts in the body, the leadership in the body, and together we serve the community. That's always been my vision of ministry, and I wanted to develop that in Ghana because I could see it was missing. And for 30 years, it's gone on. It's changed, it's flexed, it's bended. Things have gone wrong, things have gone right. I've been happy, I've been sad. I've been loving going there. I've never wanted to go back there. You know, this ebb and flow. But this vision that I was living out generated a spiritual energy in me that enabled me to push through all the obstacles. It kept Elijah going, right to Carmel and beyond, to Sinai and beyond. And every church needs a vision. And this church needs a vision. Once we've agreed on one, it takes time to get it clear, a lot of prayer, a lot of talking. But once we have a vision and begin to move into it, spiritual energy is generated. It seems that the Lord likes people with vision and is happy to pour his spirit into them. At least that'd be my testimony over all the time in Ghana. And I wonder whether this church needs to reflect on that. I don't know. I don't know you very well. I just know you a little. I love coming here. I wonder whether it's time for a reshaping. Always a good time when a new incumbent comes, isn't it, to have a look and a think. Maybe it's time. The second thing we've learned is that visions change all the time. I wonder if Elijah thought when he challenged the prophets of Baal on Carmel that 5 minutes later he'd be driven away because he was afraid of Jezebel. But what he didn't realize was the vision was going to bring him to Sinai, where he was going to prophesy the new leaders of Israel and the new prophet to succeed him. I don't think he knew it at the time, but probably looking back, he saw there was a development and a change and a growth in his vision. Now, we've certainly seen that. When we began, I didn't know about the school. I had no idea about a school at all. I wanted to train leadership and set up a few churches which were servant-led and teach others servant leadership, and we've been doing that and are still doing that. So when Precious popped up with "I want a school," I'm going, "Hey, you didn't tell me that when we started," but I was happy to integrate it into our work and to develop the school concept, which is now going reasonably well in our work. Other things had to move around a bit to make space for the new bit, but I'm happy to do that. The trouble with the church is it's this: as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, amen, isn't it? Okay? We are. The human animal, it seems to me, is basically quite conservative. And when it's got what it wants, it tends to stay there. But we are working with the Holy Spirit, who is dynamic, powerful, and moving. and will always develop and change visions, as he did for Elijah. Sometimes they're good pieces that come in. The school has been a good piece of work. We're in a very poor area, and we're offering high quality education for very poor children. Isn't that lovely? Don't you think? That's exactly where the church should be. And that's a good thing. But at the same time, our hostel for abused women, I'm afraid, is failing. And we're going to have to close it for reasons I don't need to go into now. But I don't see that as a failure. I see that as a change and development. This piece of work with the women functioned well for 5 or 6 years and achieved a lot, but now it's not. And so it's going to have to close. I don't see that as disaster. I see that the vision changing. It's easy to take the school in. Yes, not so easy to take in the piece that's ending, but both are totally relevant. We mustn't get stuck with what we've got. We are always growing as human beings right up until we die. We grow and grow and change and change. The church, of which I've been a member for over 70 years now, is fundamentally likes to get stuck. It doesn't call it that. It calls it being comfortable and right, but actually we're stuck. But that doesn't work with vision. Vision changes and grows. What causes the problem is, first of all, we get frightened by something new because we like what we've got. Or we think, well, if we change it, we're failing. I don't do failure. I've never done failure. I've never failed in my life. All I've done is changed. You know, what Google says, we celebrate our failures. Absolutely right. The hostel for abused women went so far but didn't go any further. So we'll stop it now. That's not a failure. That's a piece of work we can't take any further. So we'll redirect our energies into something else. Don't get trapped on the failure thing. I don't do failure. Why worry about those things? Let the vision change. And I want to encourage you in that, because you can easily get stuck. We fixed on this. But maybe it's got to be that, or even that, or even that, or even that. Let it happen. And the last thing that's really quite stuck in me quite strongly is visions have to be worked at. They don't float down from heaven complete, and they don't fulfill themselves. Now, Elijah, I love that story on the mountain. You know, he has this vision. The drought is going to end. God's going to pour rain. Hallelujah, isn't that great? That'd be Africa. Well, hallelujah, that's great, that's done. That'd be the Africans. It's finished now. It's going to rain. No, Elijah prays. Now, his poor servant, you know, traipses over to the edge, looks out, no rain. Goes back. Elijah, there's no rain, Elijah, so can we go home and want my tea? No, we'll pray some more. 7 times. He prayed, and I have the feeling he'd have prayed 770 times because he was going to get his rain, but he had to work at it. And I've noticed this over the years, that everything in life that we get, we have to work for. We know that. I'm not a workspace Christian. I believe the Holy Spirit fills visions. I believe the Holy Spirit takes them forward. I believe he gives the gifts. But we have a part to play. And sometimes that part means hard work. 7 prayer times for Elijah, each one getting more frantic because the rain wasn't coming. We've been 30 years now. And if I was giving a report to you on where I thought we were, and if I was a head teacher, I would put on our report, not too bad, but could do a lot better. 30 years. It has been blood, toil, tears, and sweat. It really has. And it's pushed us to the limit of our faith and our finance and our endurance and our health and everything. But the hard work is beginning to pay off. There's 2 sorts of Christians in the world. There's the ones that think God's going to do everything, so I do nothing. And there's a think that God needs a helping hand because he's a bit stuck, and so I'll help him. Neither work. We have to be filled with the Spirit to accomplish any vision. We then have to contribute ourselves into that vision. We say, here I am, send me. And so no vision is ever going to float down from heaven for this church. And I'm afraid the only people that are going to have the vision and fulfill the vision are sitting in front of me now. There is not another group out there who will come in and do it for us. Personally, I find that very satisfying, that God would use us and not send in loads better people than he could. So, that's what we've learned, that a vision has to be there. We have one. It energizes us. It changes. I'm astonished at what I've seen. Things I thought were really great aren't there anymore, and things I never dreamt of are there now. Well, that's changing and developing, working with a creator God. Mary and I and all our team are fully aware that God must work in us, but we also know that we must work hard under God to achieve what he wants. Will we achieve it? Of course we won't, but maybe the next generation will. Will you achieve the vision for this church? Maybe not, but what about the next generation? What are you going to hand them? An empty cup or a church with a powerful vision of the purpose for which it's been made? Shall we pray? We thank you so much, Father, for our family here. We thank you for our worship and our prayers and our teaching. We thank you for Laura and pray for our healing. These things happen. We ask you to help us here in the church, us in our work, to have a clear vision of what you want. Not to be afraid of the changes that come, sometimes quite painful. Not to be afraid to give ourselves into service for you. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.